Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
Wow, we are back. Welcome everyone to Benzinga Cannabis Insider. It is Tuesday. Mr. Patrick Lane, how are you today?
I am good. I'm good, Mr. Javier Haas, my international man of mystery friend. I'm going to say that on every show from now on, by the way. I just really enjoy it so much. But life is good. Coming back from a little holiday weekend here in the States. So, you know, our inboxes are crime scenes. But it's fun diving back in, right? We came back to a crazy Omicron market. Guys in the chat, let us know how you're faring in the market that Friday after Thanksgiving, today, yesterday. It's been a wild ride these past several market days. Be curious to know your thoughts.
Yeah, man. It's been a crazy, crazy few days. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on where you're standing, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving down here. So I had a very cool weekend to get caught up on emails and start my week.
Imagine
how
that.
How jealous are you?
I'm pretty jealous. A clean inbox is something that, wow, man, that's like mother's milk. That is impressive.
But I'm going to Uruguay tomorrow for a conference. So, you know, the inbox will be blowing up again, you know, for the out of office in a couple of days. So,
of course.
Good and bad.
Of course. Well, Javi, should we talk about a couple of things that have happened today? What's caught your eye? What's big for you?
One of the most interesting pieces of news since our last show, and this was from last week, but the Taliban announcing an alleged cultivation agreement for cannabis. The whole story was pretty funny because the Ministry of the Interior went on Twitter and said, there's this Australian company called C-Farm investing $400 million into Afghanistan to grow cannabis. And everyone's like, how come? If you know, the Taliban seems pretty strict on their drug policy, right? Everyone was very surprised. They reached out to this Australian company to ask what had happened and if this was true. And the Australian company said, no way, we're not doing business there. And this is not true. So then the ministry came out again and said, oh, yeah, it's a different sea farm. This one is from Germany. So now what we know is that apparently there's a German company who is going to invest $400 million into Afghanistan to grow cannabis under the Taliban regime. Because during the U.S. occupation, it seems, cannabis was a very important part of the Taliban economy.
Interesting.
Talk on that.
I don't even know how to respond to that, right? It's like good question mark. Like,
I mean,
even when the most restrictive regimes in our current time are accepting cannabis, I guess that's a good thing. If we want to try to look at it in a positive light, right?
Yeah, I guess it's progress. I mean, it'll be good for the people there. I mean, the fact that we dislike the government there does not mean like the people need to suffer. So, yeah,
absolutely not. Yeah.
A good incentive for the economy, medicine for the people, probably makes some people up there a little bit chiller. I don't know.
God, I hope so. That would be ideal.
Interesting.
Yes. No, the thing that, okay, so shifting gears for a second, that's obviously big news, strange news, still somewhat unconfirmed news, right? So we'll figure out what that means in the coming days, I hope. What about this Harborside transaction? It's big, right? Tell me how big it is.
I mean, it's big. So Harborside, HBORF, is buying UL Holdings. It's a cannabis retailer that owns Loudpack. I think it's like $90 million or something like that. What they're saying is this will be the biggest cannabis platform in California. Disputable, but certainly interesting, right? So this is a business combination that will result in a name change as well. Harborside will now be State holding a state house holdings, it will trade in under new symbols. In Canada, it'll be STHZ.
Right.
Very interesting stuff. You know, they expect, you know, gross revenue of $165 million for the first 9 months of 2021. And it's pretty, pretty balanced. Harborside is making about $57 million so far this year. Urban Leaf made $45.9 million, and Loudpack another $61 million.
Yeah, it should be a pretty unique combination. And I think what's interesting to me, and we've talked about this on the show before, be curious to get you guys in the chat your thoughts on this. Rewind maybe 6 months, maybe even 3 months, right, ago, the California market has been an absolute up for grabs state, right? You've had people that have kind of created a niche. And then in recent months, you've had what seems like a little bit of an uptick, right? You've got the parent company doing their thing. You've got Glasshouse Brands doing their thing. You've got Ease and what they've done. You've got Forefront building that giant facility. I forget the name of the city that's in. It's not Stockton. It's somewhere else. But you've had a lot of momentum coming in the state of California. Still a lot of these major, you know, MSOs not really a part of that yet, right? But it's been interesting to watch some of this unfold. Now, Javi, does that mean that California is less open season than it used to be? Does that mean we're going to start seeing some of this?
I don't know.
Dominoes fall?
It's an eternal debate, right? Like people in California say there's room for much more growth, and it's like the largest cannabis market to date. I recognize that it's the sixth largest economy in the world, but it's also very saturated, right? In fact, like there's another move, you know, derived from saturation that was very interesting. That was Emerald Health announcing it's retiring from cannabis, right? So I am not sure where we stand in California right now. It's a little bit of both. There's a bit of saturation in certain parts of the markets. And there's certainly opportunity for the smarter players and, I don't know, value players as well.
Yeah. Well, and you got to expect some of this. So the Emerald news, not entirely unexpected, right? It's a company that's, you know, had some divestments with Sky Bioscience and Emerald Pharmaceuticals, right? There's a couple of different ways that company has branched out, right, in the market. But when it comes to backing out of cannabis, some of these biotech and pharma plays, they're going to have to kind of put up or shut up pretty soon, right? Like it's going to have to be one of those. I mean, what do they say? 7 to 10 years to build a full clinical pipeline and take a product from, you know, idea to commercialization. We're kind of at that mark for some of these companies now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it happens. Like not all investments pay off. It's right. Only natural, right? It would be more worrisome if every company was thriving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think it's interesting to see how they're differentiating. We've had a lot of those folks on recently, Cardiol and some of these other players in that space. And it's been interesting to watch how they've differentiated themselves, especially in IP, how they're choosing to get through the clinical process. We don't have to belabor this, but I do think it's interesting how some of them have survived. And even thrived. You know, some of them are fairly well positioned, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes constant reinvention and rethinking and recalibrating, right? And it seems that is what Emerald is doing right now. You know, they're selling these assets, focusing on you know, pharma. They have to allocate their money smartly, right? And we've seen that also a lot in Latin America, right, for instance. And I think that is kind of a topic for the show today and a good segue for first guest actually. But you know, one thing that we did see a lot in Latin America were many of the bigger players, especially Canadian, a few years ago, just spending millions and millions of dollars, you know, developing businesses that would not necessarily thrive, and some of them had to scale back, right, and recognize, okay, like let's cut our losses, you know, right. And we saw Canopy do that, we saw Fria and Aurora do that, right? So it's the natural course of the market, right? After an era of exuberance and a lot of excitement, now reality has settled in, and you know, we realize that only some can survive.
Absolutely. I mean, the toughest part is the execution and the differentiation from the pack, right? So it's a fun stage, not for everyone, but it's interesting to watch, that's for sure.
And one of our friends, you know, who's been not only surviving but thriving in the Latin American region is José Basachar. He is the CEO of Verdamed. We talked about his drug being approved in Peru for cancer-related pain last week. This drug is similar to Sativex. And let's bring José on.
Hello, José. My friend.
Hello, guys. How are you? Patrick, Javier, thank you for the invitation. And it's great to be here with you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure, man. It always is. Guys, you guys in the chat, you know José well. We have José on, and every time it's like seeing an old friend, right? José, you've been around with us for years now, right? And you've cracked the nut a little bit here, right? You've had some real momentum even in the last week. How does it feel, man, to feel that under your wings?
Well, relieved, because it was an accomplishment. You know, like 1 month ago, we got the first product approved in Brazil by Anvisa under the pharmaceutical regulatory framework, and recently in Peru, as Javier just said. So I think it proves the case that we pitched in 2018, which it's been, you know, long now. It's going to be more than 3 years. And we basically thought that, well, if there is a law that's not going to change, is the pharmaceutical law for cannabis-derived products. Mm-hmm. And that's what we pursued since day zero. And as anything in pharma, it takes longer to materialize and get the product done and get the R&D and the regulatory process, you know, the actual registration and the license to sell in drugstores under prescription, as it's going to be in Peru and Brazil. It is tough, and it takes time, and it needs resilience. And also the agencies, you know, Anvisa and DGMIT, the FDAs from Brazil and Peru, they are also learning about it. They are building the regulatory framework on the go. Like, there's a basic set of rules, and they improve it, they tweak it. They are trying to create something that will be homogeneous for anybody coming after us. But we are paying the price of getting a lot of things done. But now it's really the moment. I think also I want to mention, I think we were very fortunate to finding the right partners. Since day zero in Canada, Transform Pharmaceutical, TIPT, that has developed our products in Canada, Sativex, or in Peru, it's called Sativil, is their accomplishment. And we have a very solid partnership with Clever Leaves, which, you know, guys, Clever has really a state-of-the-art operation in Colombia. And we have four products of them in Peru and two in Brazil. And hopefully, you know, soon, right, really soon, the second product that we have in Brazil, we also get fully licensed, I expect, this year. So it's been a very tough ride to because we had to convince people that we would be able to accomplish it. And now it's time to deliver. So it's just, okay, you say, okay. But now the game begins, actually. Now we have to sell. And it's all about, you know, execution and getting the product here. It's all imported. The deal with the drugstores, the pharma chains, talking to doctors, getting the prescriptions. There will be nothing sold that is not under prescription. So, like I like to tell my investors, you know, well, we are going up the Everest. So I feel like we are almost there, you know, base three, you know, like we have another seven products to register next year. Then we reach the top of the Everest next year, December. But then my job is to get us all safely down the Everest, because going up and dying there doesn't really count. So we go up and then I have to bring everything down, you know, safely back to base camp, back to everybody's home, and deliver the revenues and positive cash flow and break even. And then I believe that in 2-3 years time, you will see someone more relaxed than I am now. It's very hard to get relaxed because it's like, it's just an intermediary accomplishment. I think it gives comfort to our investors. It provides more confidence in the future. But again, we are not getting down yet. So it's important, of course, but it's not the last thing we must do. We must be a profitable company, a stable company, and we must also do this in other countries. The main target of VerdeMed is achieving this in all the six major jurisdictions, so Mexico, Colombia, Peru, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil. And that's also a long way to go before we do all of this.
Can you give us a sense of the market opportunity, right, as maybe compared to the US or Canada, right? Because sometimes we don't dimension how big an opportunity markets like Brazil or even Peru present for you know, cannabis companies and cannabinoid science companies.
No, Javier, you when we talk about, well, you know, guys, I am a new Canadian. I've been there for over 10 years now. I'm Brazilian, but also Canadian. And they're very different worlds, you know, US, Canada, now Germany, that are about to make it legal. In Latin America, we don't have nor the medicinal cannabis, much less the recreational cannabis. What we have is the pharmaceutical cannabis. So I think that whenever I talk to investors, I say, look, we are also an optionality. Whenever you come with VerdeMed and any company in Latin America, basically you are buying the option of the law changing. And we having a hemp law, you know, a hemp act in Brazil. We have it in the Congress. We have it in Mexico. You're Argentinian. You can tell it better than I do. So I think Latin America will fall in line with US, Canada, and Europe. When? I think it's very hard to predict. And the size, it's like, I think it's sizable, but it's never going to be like the US opportunity. We have to be realistic. You know, Latin America will be a net exporter of cannabis, just like what Avicanna is doing, as Clever are doing. Because here, it's always going to be cheaper to produce the flower, the oil, and then ship it to Europe. And if they manage to export to the U.S., But you know, in Latin America, even the recreational use, the adult use, is not as it is in US. So even when we cross that barrier, and let's assume that tomorrow or next year everything becomes legal, it's not going to be the same rate of consumption, because cannabis is not as the perception of the population is very different. So I believe in the medicinal market. That I am a true believer. I really believe that OTC, creams, oils, everything that won't need a prescription, all the products that came from the U.S. Hemp Act, that's going to be big. That's sure. Going to be massive, massive, because Latinos love novelty, love trying new things. It's the hype, but it will take time. And the adult consumption, for us in Latin America, it's much more a thing of how we're going to treat the people that have been jailed wrongfully and the prejudice that exists, you know, against, we are Latinos, so we don't say only the, you know, the blacks, Latinos, browns, it's us. It's all our population that suffers this directly. So we have to face our challenges like Mexico is facing. Is let's pacify the country, you know? So our challenges are different from the Americans and the Canadians. But I believe that in, you know, 3, 4, 5 years time, we will be there and we will see this as a major opportunity.
So, Jose, and just in the limited time we have left here, that I think that was great. You've given us an outlook of sort of where Verdamet is. You've given us the market opportunity in Latin America and with some of these countries individually and sort of the timeline that you think is doable for the Latin American opportunity to really take focus, right? What in 30 seconds or so, just because we're short on time, give us the next steps for Verdamet. Right? Where do you go immediately in the near term? What's the first thing you're going to check off?
No, we are just getting the product from Colombia to Brazil, the product from Canada to Peru, and we are starting sales. That's now it's we must sell, bring the products to the drugstores, have sales teams, start talking to the doctors, getting the prescription, and now it's the company has very little sales right now. We are exporting products from the U.S. on a patient-to-patient basis. Now we have a scalable business model. We will be able to scale it up. So that's the short-term thing is this, is get the products here, Peru, Brazil, ship it to the drugstores, and get it out with the prescriptions.
Fantastic. Jose Basajad is CEO and founder of Verdamet. As per usual, great to have you here and keep an eye out for all Verdamet's news. They're always on benzinga.com/cannabis.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
And with no time to waste, next up is Lucas Nocilia, president of Avicanna Latam. Avicanna trades on the OTC AVCNF, and I believe in Toronto, it is AVCN. Lucas will correct me if I'm wrong. Lucas, welcome to Benzinga Cannabis Insider. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. You're correct, Javier, on that. Always a pleasure to share some time with you guys.
Oh, man, it's great to have you. And give my best to Aras and the team. You guys have really been burning and turning over the last couple of months. I see announcements fairly frequently. So you want to give us a quick lowdown on everything you've been up to lately?
Sure. Yeah, no, we had a great quarter. And yeah, it came with a lot of work and effort. We knew 2 years ago when, let's say, the bubble disappeared, that it was the time to actually deliver. We always built this company knowing that it was a long-term exercise. And that's what basically we've been doing. We knew our strategy of getting vertically integrated 4 years ago was challenging, but it was a need that we have. That was the only way to actually being able to deliver the quality of the products that we are aiming at. And now we are seeing these things getting materialized in long-lasting relationships with clients, especially in the Latin American region, but also in some other countries around the globe, with sales increasing in Canada, which we think that's very key, because that's giving us a lot of insights and learnings to also develop our platforms, our commercial platforms in Latin America, with our compound pharmacy model, Farmacia Magistral here in Colombia, but also closing deals on actual pharma products in countries. I'm happy to hear Jose and their accomplishments. I'm very happy that these things are happening in the Latin American landscape. And the same is happening with us. And I agree with him that this is just the beginning, but companies as us, we are starting to see the benefit of these 4 years of a lot of effort on building the capabilities from seed to patient, let's say.
That is awesome. What about today's news? I mean, because that's the main reason we wanted you on today, right? Today you have some cool news out of Argentina. What can you tell us about it?
Well, this is just one more example on how this is a relationship that we started more than 1 year ago. It took us time to first, let's say, educate them a little bit on the benefits of working with cannabinoids, the market potential. And after that, we decided the best strategy to start registering our products to then commercialize it in countries like Argentina, where the regulations are hopefully getting, you know, materialized and ready to go. So we partnered up with a very prestigious company. They're trusting our capabilities. And the idea is to register the product in Argentina and launch it next year, hopefully after we get the ANMAT, which is a regulatory agency in Argentina, approval. But the good thing about these sort of relationships is you start with one product, but you're building a platform at the end of the day. You're building a relationship. And for pharma companies of the region, which are not the traditional big pharma probably in the US or those companies, they are entering the sector step by step and basically trusting the companies who did the right work in the last year. So we're happy to see that all that effort is now, as I said, you know, becoming materialized in these sort of agreements. And especially for me, getting things like this happening in Argentina are amazing. Same thing with the seeds that we exported a few weeks ago, and they're going to keep exporting to Argentina because I'm seeing the impact the company is generating in my own country. And that for me, it's a milestone I'm hitting myself, you know, creating and generating this positive impact in the industry in Argentina, because this basically means that in Argentina, they are leveraging on the efforts that someone else made already and focusing on their own capabilities. So pharma companies on registration and distribution, medicinal cannabis producers using the best genetics so they can skip the last 4 years that it took us to produce this sort of genetics. So seeing these sort of things happen personally for me in Argentina are great, and I think they are very healthy for the industry because they're not only just proof of concept, but these are long-lasting relationships. And normally it takes in the beginning, depending if you're producing in Destiny or you're producing in Colombia, it implies also commercial transactions when shipping API or shipping initial mm-hmm. batches of products, you know?
Yeah, so Lucas and Javi, thanks for the question. This is a good one. When it comes to these partnerships that you guys have crafted, these agreements, it's a commercial transaction. It's also, as you say, a relationship, right, that you've crafted. And I think that's really unique. When it comes to some of these partnerships, like the one you have with Al Harrington from Viola, right, he really has carved out a niche for himself in what mm-hmm. he's done in social equity in the United States. The different products that he's brought to market, I think, are really cool. And you guys are assisting in that process. Can you talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah, it's one of those examples where 1 + 1 = 3 or more. We're providing our intellectual property, our efforts on the R&D side to ensure like those products are the best in the market. And basically, we are offering our platform to launch the brand in Canada with the best products. And this is happening in the adult use channels and in the medicinal channels. And as you know, for us, since in the beginning, maybe we were aiming at producing like better revenues in Latin America, but then we also decided to focus a little bit more in Canada, where, you know, the cake is way, way bigger. And this way, we are generating a lot of knowledge and brands that then we can bring to hopefully Latin America very soon. And for us, working with brands like this are a privilege, you know, because everyone's focusing on their main capabilities, let's say. And this is something that Aras has been working very hard on in the last months. And now we are seeing, again, getting materialized and letting the patients and the users to be able to access these sort of products is great. And the message behind is also amazing. And we feel very proud about it.
Very cool.
I know we're a little bit over time, but I have one more question. Can I? Yeah, I think we can.
Yeah.
No one is saying anything. I don't see any producers complaining. So, you know, you say, you know, of course, the Colombian promises have not really materialized and that, you know, the market was expected to explode really fast and the rollout has been slower and almost every company has been struggling with revenue. But as I watch different filings, right? From Pharmacyello and Chiron to Clever to Avicanna. You know, I noticed that you're starting to generate revenue in your last report. You know, some of the revenue did come from Colombia. I know you exported seeds and you're selling some cosmeceuticals. What are the current revenue streams that your company has in Colombia, or, you know, stemming from Colombia, and what are the opportunities, right? Because again, and you know, not just for Avicanna, like let's focus a little bit on Avicanna, but also in the general market, because that's a question that I get all the time. It's like, okay, so how do you make money on the Colombian market if this you cannot do and this you cannot do and this is slow and this is, so, you know, how are you making money and how else can someone make money?
Sure. I think it's pretty early stage, but for many verticals, like I'm echoing now here, Jose, who's basically an example of final products being exported from Colombia. And this is something that it's going to happen for Avicanna too. It's a 2022 sort of thing. But as of today, it's been mainly API. As you know, Colombia has a big competitive advantage because we can export psychoactive or THC extracts, which is something not that easy to get in the global market. You cannot export it from the US, for example. And if you're aiming at Canada, then the prices are higher, right? Like that's where we're seeing the competitive advantage in cost being materialized. Mm. So I would say it is mostly on the API side, especially with the initial pharma companies producing their own products and accessing, let's say, qualified and trustable APIs, but also seeds. The seeds for us has good margins, and again, it materializes a lot of effort on R&D because to be able to produce stable feminized seeds, it gets time, you know, at least 3-4 years. So it's mainly focused on those, I would say. But moving forward, it will also we will also add to the basket, let's say, final products. And I think hopefully Colombia will not only benefit from the raw material business in general, that being API and seeds, but also from the final products. I think Colombia deserves that for all the efforts and the investment and that was made here. And this is a function also from the authorities letting us register the products in a fast fashion, let's say, which is something we're pushing every day to happen, because otherwise you have more incentives to bring your API to your own country and produce it and register the product in your own country. And this is what we're trying to avoid, because we think it's more simple, more effective, more cost effective also to do it directly from Colombia. But I would say all those verticals are now starting to happen from Colombia to the world, finally, you know. But it's a step-by-step exercise, and setting expectations where they have to be, I think, is the key moving forward, right?
Definitely.
We all learned that.
Well said. No, I think that watching this market develop is going to be really, really cool, right? What you guys are doing, what Jose mentioned a few minutes ago, I think whether it's the near-term effects of seeing some of these products come to market, watching them grow in volume and in reach, I think is going to be really cool. And you know, the efforts that you guys are making are clear. So thank you for that.
Thank you, guys. No, it's Latin America is I know you asked this to Jose. It's going to be a big market. Probably they're saying probably 10 billion, or let's say between 5 to 10 billion by 2025 or so. And the pioneers as us, and as Jose was saying, Clever Leaves, Chiron, Pharmacyello, and there are a lot of good companies also coming with us. We're going to take part of that, let's say, cake first. So I think that's where we're going to actually see the benefits or being the pioneers and making the early investment and taking the early risk in this industry. So that's what we are aiming at.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of effort and a big risk. Lucas Ancilia is the president of Avicanna Latam, A, B, C, and F for Avicanna, the entire company. Domiciled in Canada, doing R&D in Canada, and growing fantastic cannabis, if I may say, in the hills in Santa Marta, Colombia. Lucas, thank you for joining us. See you again soon.
Thank you very, very much, guys.
Thank you, Lucas. How cool, man. I liked this. I thought that it was a really unique portrait of what's going on with these two companies and what they're bringing to market down there. And especially, yeah, thank you, Maureen. Yeah, I think Lucas is a really, really great guy. Or Ross is too. Their company is, you know, they've been around for a little while, and it's been fun to watch them grow.
Oh, yeah. And thanks for everyone watching. Tiny Pie Media, always around. Michael O'Connor. Yeah. Moises from Brazil.
Yes, you guys. And if you like this content, right, be sure to tune in. What is it, Javi? 9 a.m. daily for Cannabis mm-hmm. Daily. Elliot yes, gives you the top news, everything that he sees in the morning, everything that's first coming out. Like, subscribe. Hit the bell, do your thing. Hit the bell. That's I don't know who says that. Yeah. I'm gonna say that from now on.
He sounded very young.
hit the bell. Yeah, that's great.
That is us. I think that's a wrap for us. See you Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern. I may not be here. I may be in Uruguay. We'll find out. But if not, make sure to tune in. We have Chris Beals, CEO of Weed Maps. And then at 4:30, I believe we have Perfect Union. Very, very cool stuff. So Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome. A pleasure as always, my friend.
See you.
Peace Bye. Out.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.